There's a lot here and a lot in this section behind the surface, even that we're going to investigate some stories behind names of people that we want to look into in Acts. So tonight is about a relationship severed, a relationship restored, and what that means, being a servant of God, how that all ties together. We're going to talk about it. So let's pray once again. Lord, do speak to our hearts, and just as we draw nigh to you, that you would draw nigh to us. You promise us that, so we thank you for fulfilling your promise, and that we look to you. And we do ask for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us and help us learn what you have us here tonight to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we are in verse 9. We're going to do 9, we're going to look at 9, 10, and 11. So we're getting closer to the end. I'm not even going to say it this time that we're going to finish next week, because I don't even think we are finished next week. Okay. Verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Oh, we're going to go all the way to 13. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Okay, so we want to focus in tonight on two of these people that Paul is talking about. Demas is the first one, and Mark is the second one. What we gather here is that Paul had a relationship with both of these guys. Demas forsook him, and he's asking Timothy to get Mark and bring him with you. When you come, bring Mark with you. He is profitable to me in the ministry. Demas has forsaken me, but I need Mark because he's valuable to me. So a relationship was severed. And I pray that you haven't, but most likely you have experienced where a relationship has been severed. A relationship has been severed. You lost a friend, or a friend has turned against you. Even a brother, a sister has turned against you. And when that happens, that hurts, right? Just naturally. We feel pain, emotional pain, because of that. Even physical, if we can't see them and hug them and kiss them anymore, if they're a brother or sister. And so this is what Paul was experiencing. This is what Paul was experiencing, and it just says, Demas has forsaken me. Why did he forsake Paul? Well, it tells us right here, having loved this present world and departed from Thessalonica. So Demas was with Paul and he forsook him. He departed, went another way. Why? Because he loved this present world. What does the Bible have to say about loving this present world? Says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, in loving the world and going after the world, he was, in essence, Demas was stripped of God's love. And that's a warning for us. I take that as a strong warning for us that, you know, let's not love the world. Let's not even go in that direction. Let's not love the things of the world. Because if we do, the Bible tells us, and the Bible does not lie, the Bible tells us the love of the Father is not in us. So we're stripped of God's love when we start loving the things of the world. Now, there's more here to the story about Mark. We jump down to verse 11, and it says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable for me for the ministry." This is Mark, the one who actually wrote the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to talk more about that later. But Mark did the same thing to Paul. Mark forsook Paul. So the same thing that Demas did, Mark did. Let's look at that. We're going to turn over to Acts. It's after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament, Acts. And this tells us what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Acts of the Apostles. What happened? What did they all do? It introduces us to Paul. And then it tells us a lot about Paul's missionary journeys. Acts. Acts 12:25, it says, "They took Paul and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So they were done with one missionary journey, and they took Mark, and they took him on the next one. But what happened next is they went on an island called Paphos, and they started getting into, they had to deal with this sorcerer, someone who is involved in witchcraft, basically, like a Wicca today. And they, it says Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he made this sorcerer blind. God really started to move in miraculous ways. Then it says the people started to believe in Jesus because of what was going on. They saw that this sorcerer was a fake. This is all in chapter 13. It was getting pretty intense. Then Paul was healing all these people. There were sick people. He was healing. So all these miracles were being performed. And so then it just, God's Spirit was really moving. That's what we get out of this story. If you just read it really quick, you see God is all over this. God's Spirit is moving. It's pretty dramatic for maybe someone who's new in the faith. And I don't know, it doesn't tell us the real reason, but it says in 13:13, "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John," this is John Mark is his name, "departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." So he went back home. So basically he forsook Paul. He went back home. And maybe, I don't know, what I get from it and how it speaks to me is that when God starts to move, a lot of people can get freaked out and be like, "Whoa, this is all I want of God. I just want to go so far. This is too much for me." You know, I've had that experience in my life when I've come into more of the Holy Spirit, and I was like, "Whoa, what's going on here? This is getting scary for me." But we need to accept all that God has for us and more of the Spirit. You know, we ask, "Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us." And not to be afraid of God's moving and God's Spirit and God's power, but to accept it and surrender to it, really. But that's just, you know, my opinion of what, it doesn't really tell us, but that's my opinion of what happened and how it speaks to me. He went home, so he forsook Paul. And then later on in Acts, it tells us that they got in an argument. Now, in other parts of the Bible, I believe it's in Colossians 4:10, it tells us that Barnabas was John Mark's cousin, I believe. Is that right? I believe that's right. So they were cousins or nephew. I believe it's cousins. And so Paul and Barnabas were having this argument. Barnabas like, "Why can't we bring Mark? Mark wants to go on another trip. Let's bring him again. He was helpful, you know." And Paul's like, "No, he forsook me. I can't take him with me." And they got in so much of an argument that they had to split up. And so Paul went with Silas and Barnabas went with John Mark. So the beautiful thing about, so that's what happened. But then this is toward the end of Paul's life. We hear that now he's requesting. John Mark. So we got to fill in the gaps here. And he says, he's profitable to me for the ministry. So bring him with you. He's going to help me. He's going to be valuable. He's going to do God's work with us here and carry on the work that I'm supposed to do. So we got to fill in the gaps, and we got to see that, you know, Paul forgave John Mark, and Mark turned around too. He stepped up, and he worked through it, and he received more of God. He received more of the Holy Spirit, and he went forward, and he served God. And so that's the beautiful thing about Christianity, is forgiveness. Now, it's not easy. Paul tells us like it is. It's not easy to be a Christian, to forgive, to lay down our rights. You know, this is very current in our lives. We're dealing with this right now, where we have to, you know, a close person to me, my sister, actually, my sister and her brother-in-law, we're having an argument, and it's like they've forsaken us, and it's hard. It's not easy, but we have to forgive them, and they got to come around, and it really speaks that they're, you know, we help them a lot, and they help us, and we're gonna end up helping each other at the end. But we have to forgive, and that's what Paul had to do. But they have to come around as well, and they will, and they are, and so this really hits home for me. But the neat thing about Mark is now he's left with not that he forsook Paul. You know, Paul doesn't say this about, he says about Demas. Demas forsook him, and he remained away. He didn't come back. And here Mark is, he came back, and now he's profitable, valuable to me for the ministry. Mark, we are starting the book of Mark. And just a few things about Mark. Mark wasn't a, you know, I always thought Mark was a disciple of Jesus, but he's not. And I looked at in the list where it tells us in Matthew of all the disciples, the 12 disciples, Mark is not there. The neat thing about it, the Bible talks a lot about Mark in Acts and in the rest of the Bible. And it says that Mary, at the house of Mary, Mary was his mother, and it was Mary's house, they were praying for Peter to get out of jail. Do you remember that story in Acts where it says, Lord, please let Peter just come out of jail and come right even to our door, and we just believe you so much. Knock, 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 knock. Knock, knock, knock. Who's at the door? Oh, well, it couldn't be Peter, even though they were praying for Peter. But a young girl answers the door, and they say, it's Peter. And they're like, no, it's not. No. And they go into the door. And Peter was there, and they rejoiced. But that's maybe part of Mark's, how he came to know the Lord. You know, like, he saw how God moved. And it says in Peter, 1 Peter 5:13, it says, Mark is my son in the faith. Just how Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, Paul led Timothy to the Lord. He introduced him to Jesus. And the same thing, Peter introduced Mark to Jesus. And the neat thing about Mark is if you start reading the book of Mark, it starts like really strong, and really it doesn't tell anything about the birth. It doesn't tell anything about the young life of Jesus, because he learned it all from the apostles. And the apostles only knew of what they heard it, obviously, because Matthew writes about it and Luke and whatnot. But he just starts out right there fresh, you know, Jesus and John the Baptist and Jesus, and Jesus performed all these. Jesus was a servant, and that's the thing about Mark. And so Mark is left with that he is a servant. Okay, and this is where it's all connecting. So help me connect the dots here. Demas loved the world, and Mark was a servant. Now he's left with, what does the Bible tell us about servanthood? It says you cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. You will either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You can't do it. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? This present world. Everything that's in the present world, right? So, are we connecting the dots here? The dots to connect are that he did not love this present world, so therefore it enabled him to be a servant of God. Instead of choosing all that the world had, Mark chose all that God had, and he served him, and he served him with all his heart. And that's what made him a servant. The whole book of Mark is about how Jesus was a servant. And the cool thing about it talks about all of Jesus's, guess what, miracles. So Mark really had this transformation where he was kind of, whoa, all these miracles and everything that's going on, this is crazy. But then he ends up writing about it all. He really came around. He really came back to God and comprehended it. And that's what he focused in on, was Jesus' miracles and the power of God. And so it was neat to see all that. And that he didn't love this world's good, but he was a servant. And throughout, it talks about it in Peter, in Colossians, in Philemon. All the apostles were like, hey, bring me this. Do this for me. Help me out here. So he was really a servant himself. He was a servant to all the apostles. And he learned from them everything he knew about Jesus. So he's like a second generation Christian, if you will. So, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot serve God and mammon. And this also hits home for us. And I hope it hits home for you. We have the opportunity, I guess, to get rid of all of our stuff right now. And this is just as particular to us, where Sarah's allergic to everything that's in her house, so we feel led to give it all away. And we get not to withhold any good thing, but to give it all away, trust the Lord. And we're not supposed to share computer passwords, but I don't think you're going to my office anytime soon. So my password is let it all go. Let it all go. I have to type it, you know, 5 times a day, let it all go. And it's hard, you know, it's hard, but it's good. I don't want to miss anything God has for us, and I don't want to love the present things that the world has. I want to serve God, and I hope you're there too. But there's balance, and let's keep reading. It's at the end of this. There's balance. The Bible always teaches balance, not the extreme of to do things so much extreme. Jesus talks extreme, but you know what I'm saying. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. You know, we live in this world. We have human bodies. We need clothes. We need a place to sleep. We need a Bible. Thank you. We need Bible study materials. We need chairs. We need a piano. You know what I'm saying? God is not telling us to, you know, there's some people living under the bridge, and we were driving and we saw them. We were all talking about them at work. God hasn't called us to let go of everything and live under a bridge. You know, that's just foolish. But God has told us not to love the thing. And so that's really in our hearts, not to love all of our stuff and not to pour into it and not to get obsessed by it, but to be practical, live practically. And you know, the things that we have here and this is not, it's not bad. It's not at all bad. And that's what, these are some of the needs, the books, the commentators were saying was, you know, Paul had some needs. Maybe it was cold in prison. Bring my coat. It's freezing here, you know. We have physical needs, and God has given us liberally all things to enjoy, the Bible tells us. and especially the parchments. You know, if we're pouring ourselves into reading the Bible and we have a good Bible, a good study Bible, you know, that's great to keep seeking God and His Word and study materials and things that can be edifying to our brain and make us grow. English, you know, all the history and whatnot. So it's definitely the balance of what God says here, but not to love the present world and everything that it has, but to live practically and holy and righteous and in this. And then if we do that, you know, how are we ever going to reach the people that are around us that are into all their stuff too? You know, we gotta live in this world and do what God's called us to do. So that's all I have for us tonight. Just a strong warning to not love the world, this present world, and that's really a heart decision, and to live practically. So I pray that God has spoken to us. I know it's really current in my life. If someone has hurt you, you know, forgive them and go on, especially if they're turning around and they're saying, you know what, I needed more of the Holy Spirit back then, and I didn't know what was going on, but now I get it, and I want to write a book about Jesus and how He was a servant and how many miracles and the power of God. You know, Mark is just awesome, and in our personal devotions, we're just starting it. I'm excited to read it again. It's supposed to be the most simplest gospel presented that anyone can understand. It's very strong, the beginning of it. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. Thank You how Your Word is so current and alive to us. And I pray that You help us connect all those dots of not loving the world, but being a servant and how it all relates. And we can't serve two masters, but only one. And we want to serve You, Lord. We choose You. It's a decision, Lord. And help us to do what we can't do in our flesh, and that's love and forgive. But by Your Spirit and by Your love, as we choose You, You pour it through us and allow that to happen. We thank You. We want to have Your love in us, and we receive Your love and give it out now, and pray that You would continue to move in our midst and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.